Yeah, always great to catch up with David Renicky. How are you, David?
Yeah, Pete, good afternoon. Good to be with you again.
Mate, what I want to talk about today, because I saw some graphics the other day about the amount of space junk and plus the amount of satellites that are still in service, and it just was phenomenal. Why, and maybe they do, why don't they bump into each other, and how do they control what's going on up there?
Yeah, it is controlled, Pete. When you put something into orbit there, you've got to go through the regulatory body. Now, I happen to know the woman who does that. Oh. I stay with them when I go over to Florida, and they work at CAPE. There are companies contracted to NASA who do these orbital calculations, and you've got to apply ahead of time and say, this is what we want to do, and here's where we want to place the satellite. Can we get the okay to do that? Well, these people like traffic control. They do know where everything is up there, and they can give you an orbit plot, and they can say, look, you can put it up here at a certain point and have it geostationary if you want to or whatever. So you must apply for that. You just can't willy-nilly just shoot anything up.
Sure.
Because if you did, of course, you know, your scenario would play out. Everything would run into everything else. Look, with something like 4,000 satellites in orbit around the Earth there, and God knows how many bits of space junk, it is a mess. And they do run into each other from time to time. There's a case there some years ago where two satellites did actually run into each other, and it was hit by what was dubbed by the press as ZombieSat. It was a satellite that went out of order, out of commission.
Oh.
It was wobbling around all over the place like a zombie. So collisions do occur, Peter, but not as much as what you'd assume.
So I take it from that once something is set in place and it orbits, it stays exactly on that trajectory, doesn't go left or right, but it stays there, and that's why they're able to put things in certain places?
Pretty much, yeah. The atmosphere can expand and change the orbit a little bit, but I do believe that modern satellites now must have the capability of being able to be moved and deorbited when their time's up. In the old days, when I say the old days, the 70s and the 80s, you could put anything in orbit if you wanted to and it stayed there.
Mm.
But now the regulation is that once its lifetime is up or once it becomes non-functional, you've got to be able to bring it back down and burn it up.
Okay, so we run out of space, pardon the pun, will we run out of room for these satellites? Is it that much? How much room are we talking about?
They call it space for very good reason, Pete. There's a lot of it. look, you can have a satellite up to 900K high, maybe even higher if you want to. Some of the communication satellites we've got are up around 20 and 30,000K above the Earth. Some of them, like Elon Musk wants to put up there, these ones are just outside the Earth's atmosphere. So you've got a pretty big corridor up there. It's not as bad as what you think. And, you know, funnily enough, you could travel around in orbit around the Earth for quite a long time. And the shuttle used to do that without encountering any piece of space junk or material at all. So it is a mess, but it is a controlled mess, if you can understand what I mean.
Okay. What a job trying to control that mess. Always interesting. DavidRenicky.com, of course, is David's fantastic website, Astrospace News, a division of Astronomy Media Services, Spaced Out. David, we'll catch up with you in a fortnight.
Will do, Pete. Bye-bye.